come when I would not shake when I get up here, but it hadn't happened yet. I would like this morning to share with you a challenge that the Lord has given me. Peace on a personal level. Because I want to tell you, if you're waiting for the United States to have peace, it won't be coming. If you're waiting for the world to have peace, it's headed in the wrong direction. It's down now to the time for each one of us individually to find peace. I'd like to look at the definition. I love the definition. I want to have it in my life. A state of quiet or tranquility. A state of quiet or tranquility, freedom from disturbance or agitation. I want it. I believe every one of us want it. If you had an opportunity to physically move yourself to a place that you would say, now I've got peace, where would you go? What would you do? You know, each of us, I've thought about in the past, my picture of peace is a lake somewhere, and I got a little cabin beside it and a porch that I can sit out on it and watch the sun rise. Well, I want peace. A few years ago, Clinton was still at home, and we went out as a family to Colorado. Mountains all around. Little town called Pitkin over by Gunnison. And I loved it. There's peace. And so we hired a local guy there, had a Jeep, to take us on a Jeep tour up through the mountain. Oh, I really loved it now. I want to buy something out here. So I was down in the little town that evening, and some of the local folks around, and I made the statement. I said, well, I'd love to find me a little piece of property out here. Well, the guy standing next to me reached in his pocket and pulled out a business card. He said, I'm a real estate man here. And he said, you know, I said, I went up on this mountain right here today. I said, I'd love to have me a little piece of land up there. He said, you know what? He said, there's some people just listed 6 acres on top of that mountain. He said, I've not even had time to advertise it. I said, I want to see it. So he said, I've not even seen it myself. He said, I just know about where it is. Well, Clinton and I got up early the next morning. We went up the mountain looking for it. Well, we ended up that day not for sure where it was. You know, before you pay on it, you'd really like to know that that's what you saw. So went back down and we asked him, said, hey, we're interested if you'll show us for sure where it is. He went up there and he showed us, this is peace. It was at 11,200 feet. You could take a lawn chair out there and look out over the world. I said, I want it. So I bought it. And I had pictures in my mind, we're going to build us a log cabin out there. This is going to be peace. Next year, I think it was the next year, we pulled a travel trailer up there because this is my little heaven on earth. Well, I want to tell you the rest of the story. How much oxygen is at 11,200 feet? Not enough. Beautiful land. You could see the world. But my heaven didn't have enough oxygen. And I would go up there and beautiful view. But I'd lay down at night and it felt like somebody was sitting on my chest. I was drawing for air. I could not get enough breath. I had a headache from the time I went up on the mountain till the time I went home from vacation. And I thought, oh, wait a minute, this is a little flaw in my peace here. So I went down to the bottom of the mountain and I told the man, I said, you know, I can't hardly breathe up there. And he said, well, he said, you'd need to stay about 3 weeks. Well, I don't have but a week's vacation that I can put on it. And so in a week, I still got my headache, still got my problem. Now, the thing that I strove for, this right here will bring me peace. It no longer brought me peace. If you can't breathe, you don't enjoy it near as much. So I went back down 1 year, went home, and I called the real estate man that I had bought it from, and I told him, hey, I got to sell that thing. I said, I can't breathe up there. So he said, okay, I can find somebody that wants it. Somebody bought it, and so he called me and he said, do you want to come out for closing? Well, I have a trailer out there. I had lawn chairs in it. I had gas stoves and lanterns. He said, you want to come out and get them a key for the trailer and take your things? And nuh-uh. I said, just give it all to them. Tell them to cut the lock on it. They can have it. Just send me the check. Just mail me the check on it. You know what, folks? There were people that traveled across the United States in a covered wagon, got out to the desert, and they would be crossing the desert and running out of water in a desperate need of water. And they would look out here, there's water right over here, I see it, and head for that place. Just about the time they get where they saw, here's a landmark and I know the water's right beside it, there's no water. Now the water's over here. You know what, folks, that's where my searching for peace can be if I'm not careful. It's here. My little place on Colorado, that's heaven on earth. Oh, no, it's not there. It must be somewhere else. There is a peace that the Lord wants to give us, each one. And this is what He's dealing with me about is, it's not a location. It's within us, is what He wants to give me. Because our world is in trouble. Our nation is in trouble. Last year, about October, something started in our nation, and I wondered, where will the end of this come? Occupy America. Tent cities forming in parks all over the United States. The protests? We're protesting big business and corporate greed. So we're going to put out some tents here. We're going to stay in them. We're going to show America we're not happy with this. Well, in a park about a block from where I work, they did that. They put them a little tent city in that park. They'd hang their clothes out on the trees. I would drive by there in the morning. I've got to be at work at 8 o'clock. I'd have to drive right by there. The tent flaps are down. They're laid up in there sound asleep, protesting corporate greed. Well, I had this thing in the center of my steering wheel. It was an alarm clock. So I would ring it to tell them, folks, corporate America's got to get up this morning. That's where the answer is to this problem. Well, you know, there are some things in life that we feel like there's something I can do to stop this problem. You know, I could have got some of my coworkers together and said, hey, it's only a block over there. Let's slip over there and tump the tents over and show them this is what you need to quit. I didn't have to do that. God told people in the past, you're not going to even have to fight this battle. You stand back and watch. While that was going on, it was happening city after city. We're going to protest the trade center. I mean, we're going to the stock market. We're going to be outside. It's Occupy Wall Street now. It was coming up all over. And you know what? It was starting to destroy my peace because I thought, you know what, folks? Unless law enforcement gets this under control, we'll be like the countries overseas that's in a turmoil. But instead, the God of heaven came down and took care of what law enforcement couldn't do. Did you notice it? It was called wintertime. You will only stay in a tent so long. And I hadn't thought about that. I thought, this thing's going to grow until it destroys America. Uh-uh. God sent a cold spell. And the little tent city there by where I work, I went by there wondering, you know, how they're making it now. It's pretty cold for me at home. And I go by there, the tent flaps are down, the clothes are hanging on the line. I go out a few hours later, the tent flaps are down, the clothes are hanging on the line, and I come to the realization, wait a minute, they got a house somewhere. And they just left it down to make me think they're still there. They're gone. And after a while, the tents were gone. There's a verse that I want to give you this morning. It is alive to me now. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. This is where I will find peace. Great peace have they which love thy law. The very thing that brought peace to America, people are now casting aside. They are saying, no, will not have the Ten Commandments to be posted on the courthouse lawns. Just this past week in Oklahoma City, I got the news that Oklahoma City is going the opposite direction. We are posting the Ten Commandments on the lawn. I thought, that's a good thing, but you know what thought came to me? Don't set it very deep in concrete, because you're going to have to pull it up. That's where we are in America today. Remember the verse that said, a certain nobleman went into a far country, and he said, occupy, occupy till I come. But it said his citizens hated him, and they sent messages to him. We will not have this man to reign over us. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. That is our answer for peace today. Take the law of God, the whole book, and eat it. Because I tell you, I'm convinced right now that there is no place that I lose my peace that I won't find a scripture that will tell me, you go this route and you can have peace. It's there for every one of us. When Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. You'll have peace if you come to me. This is going to be our solution in the day and time that we are. Because the verse says, blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, finds just so doing. Embracing the law of God. Taking a look at the places that I can go. You know, this is not something that I can go to the altar this morning and get peace that will take me to eternity. Tomorrow something else is going to have to happen. I'm going to have to go back to the Word of God and say, I've lost my peace in this area. Lord, is there something for me? Because you told me, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. In this area, Occupy America, God gives us a recipe for peace. And it's found in 1 Timothy 6. I need to be able to go back to it when my peace gets disturbed. It says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, it's certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Contentment. Does that mean that I'll never try to change my situation? I'm just going to be contented just like it is. What it means is I can have peace while I'm working to improve it. While I'm working to make a change in my situation. You know, there are many people that are dissatisfied with work conditions. So we're going to protest. We're going to cripple the company. Just recently I read the news about, I think it was Hostess. Thousands of people had a job, but decided we're not getting enough. So we're going to protest. We're going to cripple the company. Well, they did to the point that the company just shut it all down. Now there's that many thousand people with no job. There is a place that I have that I can have peace with the Lord. I can realize, you know what, I want to make a change in my working conditions. And I can make that change, and peace follows me all the way through it. I don't have to lose it. Paul said in Philippians 4:11, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. So the law of the Lord, great peace have they which love thy law. There's a scripture for everything that will take my peace, that will bring it back if I'll follow the law of the Lord. There's a prayer called the Serenity Prayer. If we want to have peace, we're going to have to put it into our life. That prayer is, God, grant me the serenity. Grant me the peace to accept the things that I cannot change. There are some things that will come into my life. I can spend the rest of my life trying to make it go away, and it'll not go away. It's not in my power to change it. It says, God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. The courage to change the things I can. There are some things that God gives me the power to be able to make changes in my life. He allows me to be able to do it. And I need to pray for Him for the courage for those. But it doesn't end there. I also need the wisdom to know the difference from one to the other. Because if I get them mixed up, my peace is going to be gone. There's another area. And today what I'm telling you about is the things that are out to destroy my peace. Maybe you can say those don't affect me at all. Well, if they don't, you'll have some. Yours may be totally different than mine. This is across the board. The Lord has peace for us. Looking over in the Middle East over this past year, the unrest, the turbulence, the uprisings, the killings that have gone on, that seems far and remote from me. But you know, then there was a film made a few weeks ago, and no doubt the person that made it had a desire to antagonize, and it did what he intended. The film that insulted their prophet, Muhammad. And I mean, they rose up, they started destroying things, out to kill the man that did it. There was a verse that came to me while I heard about all that. Do you remember when Gideon, when the Lord came to him and said, Gideon, I'm going to use you to deliver your people. But the first thing I want you to do, you're going to have to go out and destroy the altars of Baal. Well, he went out at night and he did that. And the next morning when the people of that area found out what had been done, they made a search to see who did it. And they found out it was Gideon, so they came to his dad and said, bring him out. We're going to kill him for what he's done to our prophet, to our God here, Baal. His father said something that is so profound to me. He said, let him plead. Let Baal, if he's a god, let him plead for himself. If he's a god, let him take care of Gideon. What does that have to do with me today? I want to tell you, there are some things that this year wanted to destroy my peace. I love America. I love the freedoms that we have been given in the past. We take for granted the opportunity. If I want to go to Colorado tomorrow, I can pack up my car and go. We have been blessed. I take for granted the freedom that tomorrow, Thursday when I chose to come down here to meeting, I didn't have to get a clearance from anybody. We still have religious freedoms. I love those things. We have had things that are chipping away at it. Ten Commandments gone. And then the summer when I heard the leaders say, I now endorse gay marriages. I now support abortion. We've never had that before. And I want to tell you something. This is no longer a nationwide peace that we're looking for. I need peace in my own soul. When these things come to me, remember the Serenity Prayer. There are some things that I can change. There are some things I can't change. Lord, help me to have the wisdom to know the difference. Because I can let it start churning on me, I need to defend this thing. And I want to guarantee you, your peace will be gone. You can join up with causes that say, we need to defend these things. I believe God's telling us, you want peace? I got a route for you to take. There are people that say, abortion, I'm against it. So I find the address of the abortion clinic and I blow it up, kill some people there. Now that solved the problem. Peter tried that. Let's take a look at it. Matthew. Because I'd like to have a peace that can pass through whatever may happen next year. Matthew 26 and 50. And behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand, drew a sword, struck a servant of the high priest, and smote off his ear. Then said Jesus to him, put up again thy sword into his place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the Scriptures be fulfilled that these things must be? There is something that I need to remember. Just as he told Peter, put up his sword, there's a verse over in Romans 12 that gives me an answer for today. If I want to be able to have peace, I need to put this into practice in my life. Recompense to no man, evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. These things that are happening in our country today, if I want to maintain peace, I'm coming to the place where I'm realizing, I'm going to have to realize, just like Gideon's father told them, let God take care of it. He says the government's on his shoulders anyhow. If I get involved, I'll lose my peace over it. I want to be real careful. And I'm not talking about, we're in a place, and I believe we're going to come to a time where it's no longer just be silent and accept it. But you're going to have to outwardly accept it, or it's not going to be acceptable. There's a place where we're going to have to stand, but I believe there's a place where we can stand and peace follows right along with it. I want to find that in everything. Because we look in history and we hear about holy wars, religious folks on both sides killing each other. Peace had to have been gone for all that to happen. So the Lord comes along and says, leave that to me. It's against me anyhow. You remember when it was, I believe it was when the king, the people were wanting a king, and he felt so bad about it, and the Lord said, wait a minute, it's not toward you. It's toward me. Let go of it. I'll take care of that. Samuel, that's right. Where he just eased his mind, wait a minute, it's not you. Hand it over to me. Let me take care of it. I'd like to go back to an old scripture, something that I need to be able to remember, prophecy. I want peace in my life. 9:6 of Isaiah. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government is still on his shoulders. His name should be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Says of the increase of his government and peace, there be no end. We'll never hit anything that he says, my peace has now run out, you're on your own. There is a place for me to have peace in the middle of it. There is a, right along with that, you remember when the angels came to proclaim Christ is coming to the earth? What did they say? Peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then Jesus did all he could to show the peace that he was bringing. I'd like for us to go to a verse, because I sure don't want, after the Lord has done everything he can, that I have peace in my life, that the last of it ends up this way. In Luke, the 19th chapter, and in the 41st verse, you know, he had done everything he could to show them the peace that he was wanting to bring. They expected one thing. He came to give them something else. They expected, we're going to get a leader. This Messiah that will come is going to deliver me out of my troubles. He came to give them peace right in the middle of the troubles. They expected, I'm going to have somebody that comes and destroys this Roman grip that they have on me. I believe he was saying within himself, if I did it, there'll be somebody else next year. So I'm going to bring you a peace that it really doesn't matter who's in control. You can have peace through it all. And they rejected it. In Luke 19 and 41, it says, when he was come near, he beheld the city, and he wept over it, saying, if thou hast known, even thou at least in this thy day, the things which belong to thy peace. If you had only known that right in the middle of all your troubles, I had a peace where you could be on top of the thing and still be serving them. You know what? We need that today. There's a verse that says, there's a peace, not depending, a verse of a song, on my troubles, relenting. Now, the peace that the world gives is if Israel will stop firing rockets, the others will stop firing rockets, these will stop killing. All these things line up just right. Now we have peace. But it doesn't stay for very long. In fact, I don't believe it'll ever come back. And if I have my hopes on that peace, this personal one that He wants to give me will be lost. How do I have peace? It needs to start out here. Job 22 and 21. Acquaint now thyself with Him and be at peace. Thereby good shall come to thee. There is another verse that I'd like to look at. Almost like He was longing for them to give them something. His chosen people. In Isaiah 48 and 18. Oh, that thou hadst hearkened to my commandments. Then had thy peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. If you had hearkened to my words, He didn't say, I would have caused all your problems to go away. He said, I would have given you peace like a river. It has no ending. It keeps on flowing. There was a verse given this morning. Why art thou disquieted? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Hope thou in God. Some people set their hopes in a political candidate. Should he not make it, peace is gone. Some people set their hopes in retirement. I have worked all my life to build up this nest egg. The stock market crashes, and their peace is gone. And through each of these things, on election morning, we have the opportunity in America to go cast a vote and then move on with life and ask the Lord to give me personal peace in my life. I am so thankful for that opportunity. He gives me an opportunity as I'm working to try to set back a little bit of money for retirement. He tells us to do that if we can. But you know what He'll do, what peace will do? If the stock market crashes on the day that I plan to take it out to live my retirement years, the song will come into my mind, no matter what happens, He will care for me. And His mighty hand will enable me to stand, no matter what happens to me. There are people that set their hopes in what the medical field can do. When that crashes, peace is gone. When all along, if I will, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. What's one of the laws that is set in motion? God's law? It is appointed unto man once to die. When I come to grips with that and embrace it, my time's coming. One day, God is going to call for me. Talk about peace. Because there are people that will say, my life is going. I give everything I have if you could spare me a little more time. The Christian has an opportunity. Great peace is to be able to embrace God and what He can do in our lives. I want it for myself. There are promises. This is not just a hope, a little wish. There are promises. John 14 and 27, my peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth. The peace that the world gives will wait until Occupy America settles down, till all these other conditions, the stock market is now going up. We now are providing jobs for Americans. He's given a peace that right up in the middle of that, we can have peace. It says, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Another verse is, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. We're living in a dark world today, and I believe it's going to get darker. But you know what's amazing in darkness? If the moon is shining, you can almost walk as if it were daylight. You can kind of see where you're going. The darker it gets, when you can't see your hand in front of your face, and you say, I need a light, and all I've got is my little cell phone, you turn on that little light, and it's amazing how bright that is to give you light. I want to tell you, our opportunity as a Christian will become brighter to the world as it gets darker. To be able to show the world, yes, I had a little money set back that I hoped to get to live on when I got old too. It went right along with yours. But I tell you what, the Lord's still giving me strength. I've thought about this before. There's people saying, you know, here's what I want to do in retirement. And I'm not sure right now. I think they've even quit having these people. But there used to be at Walmart, the greeters at the front. And I thought, you know, usually they're older people. And I thought, there's my place right there. If everything else goes, I can still greet people. But I think the economy got tough, and I haven't even seen them so much lately. But there'll be something out there. And peace, most of all, peace, will go right along with it. I want to look at another area that I can lose my peace in, or I can have peace right on through it. Romans 14 and 19 says, follow after things which make for peace, things wherewith one may edify another. Psalms 34, 14, depart from evil, do good, seek peace, and pursue after it. Go after peace. There was another one where Psalms 122 and 6, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. You know, there, what we have from the Lord in our time now, when it comes election time, I can cast my vote. Then he gives me something else. Dan, you want to have peace? Here's what you do next. 1 Timothy 2 and 1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for those that are in authority. You want to have peace? The morning after the election, get up and pray for those that are in authority. Why? Why am I going to do that? He tells me. This verse that says now that's alive to me, great peace have they which love thy law. Here is his law. Pray for kings and for those that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and a peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. You know, we look back to the time when Jesus came on the earth and he said, I want to bring you peace. He looked on Jerusalem and said, if only you had known the peace that I wanted to bring to you. You rejected it because you were wanting all your surroundings to be comfortable for you. I believe we're moving into that area again. If I am looking for my peace to be contingent on my surroundings being comfortable around me, I may lose that peace. But he gives us promises right now. Pray for the peace. Pray for those that are in authority, that you lead a quiet and a peaceable life. Daniel has become more of a monument in my life as I look at the times that we're in today. Daniel didn't ask to be taken as a slave. Daniel, I believe, served God faithfully back at home. But you know what? He suffered right along with all those that God was going to chastise. The good are going to suffer with the evil. But you know what? He didn't let it get him down. He rose on top of it. Now, he's the slave, but he never let it be known. You would see places where we think of it, maybe it happened the next week that he was called on again. It may have been years between these times. He lived a consistent life. There's a verse that says, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Things can happen to us today in 2012 that can start a little root, to where 2 years down the road, when the Lord would like to use me, I've got this thing churning in me that has eaten me up. Daniel went right along the years that they didn't even need him. He was a faithful man. The reason I know he was a faithful man, because he could go to God quickly and say, Lord, what about this? What does this mean? He didn't have to clear up anything in his life. I believe today is a prime opportunity for the Christian. We've got to maintain our peace. Because if I lose it, I'm no better than all the others around me. They have lost theirs when the economy went down. They have lost theirs when the wrong man for them was elected. I've got to be able to show God is still in control. There's a place in Jeremiah. I love the verse that says in Jeremiah 29, I know the thoughts that I'm thinking towards you. They are thoughts of peace. Now I'd look at that and I'd say, oh, that's my scripture right there. I love that one. 29 and 11. I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to bring you to an expected end. He didn't say, you'll have no trouble. I'm thinking peaceful thoughts about you. I would pull this verse out of the scripture and I'd say, this is my verse right here. I love this verse. You know what surrounded that verse? He was telling his people, you have just been taken into captivity. There are going to be prophets that are going to tell you, in 2 years, God's going to deliver you from this trouble. Your own desires are going to tell you, God is going to quickly get you out of this trouble. Don't believe it, because it's going to destroy your peace. Because he went on here and he said, it's going to be 70 years before I bring you out of this, but I've got thoughts of peace towards you. Thoughts of peace? Wait a minute. I can be just like the people back there when Jesus came. Thoughts of peace are, get the Romans off my back. Instead, his was, I want to bring an inward peace right in the middle of it. So he told these people, thus saith the Lord, fourth verse in the 29th chapter of Jeremiah, thus saith the Lord of hosts, God of Israel, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captive. And look at this next one. Do I blame the Occupy America for destroying my peace? Look at what God says here. Whom I caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon. I am in control of what happened in your life. You know what, folks, if we ever get to the place that we forget that, peace is gone. If I feel like these things that have happened are not brought on by God, that's the only thing that held Job in his time. Shall we not receive good and evil from the Lord? The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. For me to be able to keep peace, I need this. Because the Lord was coming to them in Jeremiah saying, I've got a peace for you. Wait a minute, 70 years, I'm going to need that peace. Here's what he tells them. Fifth verse, build ye houses and dwell in them. Plant gardens and eat the fruit of them. You only do that when you're going to stay for a while. Take ye wives and beget sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, that you may not be diminished, that you may be increased there and not diminished. What's the next verse say? And seek the peace of the city wherewith I have caused you to be carried away captive. Pray unto the Lord for it, for in the peace thereof shall you have peace. Your prayers are, we could say, kind of selfish. Lord, would you please allow peace to be here? Because it's going to be in that peace that I'll be able to have peace. We may look at these and say, well, what does that have to do with me in 2012? I believe it has more than I ever realized. I believe we're coming up against something. We take a look at Daniel, and we think that's a good story. But folks, it may come to the time where your opportunity is to shine your light. Amen. When adversity is all around you, when hope is gone from everyone else around you, that you be able to say, the Lord's still in control. He will take me through. I want to close with something a little bit different this morning, maybe. I have a song that I'd like for us to sing together. And I'd like for us to think about something. You know, the things that destroy my peace, maybe something totally different than what destroys yours. But all the time, Christ is holding out his hand to every one of us. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. I'd like to say to you this morning, if you have anything in your life that is destroying your peace. I want to encourage you this morning, because I've had to do it myself, to come to the Lord and say, Lord, I'd love for things to be different in America. It's not changing. It's still going the wrong way. I've just been losing peace from it, and I want that peace back. And I start finding scriptures that says, here it is, pray for those that are in authority, that you be able to lead a quiet and a peaceable life. Maybe it's not even about our government today that bothers you. There'll be something. And the Lord is saying, I've got peace for that area of your life. I'd like to ask that we all stand. And I'd like for you to help me with this song. If you have anything that is destroying peace, come to the one that said, I'm the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of this peace, there won't be any end. I'd like for us to sing the song, In the Shelter of His Arms.